I know before my daddy issues were raging in my dating life. Like, I just wanted someone to notice me. I just wanted someone to see me because I felt so unseen by my dad, I think. And a presence of a dad doesn't make you perfect in dating at all. But what I will say is having my dad around and having him around to like speak highly and speak highly of me and speak life into me created a foundation to where when I went back into the dating world, certain things was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Things that I would have been like pressed about.
You can't talk to me like
behavior
that
I would have been okay with. It was like, I'm actually not okay with that. Yeah. I'm actually good. Yeah. So I can say that having that confirmation and that affirmation that he does see value and love me has made me move different in life in general.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to my podcast. Shanti Ringfield here. And you are tuning into the Shanti Ringfield Show. Y'all know I just changed the name.
Congratulations.
So thank you all for continuing to support and follow me. Today we have a special guest, Cindy Noir.
Hello.
Hey, girl.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, girl. Back at it again.
Right. I'm like, whenever we do episodes, they're very seamless.
Absolutely. Yes. It definitely flows.
Yes. You two know. Chatterboxes.
Two yappers.
Yes.
Certified yappers.
Certified yappers. Yes. So I'm so glad to have you back.
Thank you.
A lot has happened since the last episode that we had.
Yes. It's been a minute.
It has.
It's been a few months, actually.
It's
now
been
I
a few months.
It's
been a few months. It's been a few months. Yes. So, as of late, you were on the Jennifer Hudson Show.
I was.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That's so exciting. It was definitely an exciting experience.
Yeah.
One for the books. Definitely. Mm-hmm. It was a life changer, honestly.
How did you get the opportunity to go on the show?
So, I watched the show on Hulu called Unprisoned with Kerry Washington. Mm-hmm. I watched that show last year and I loved it. It was an amazing show. It really depicted the father-daughter relationship between Black people in a way that I needed to see.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made a video about it, just kind of in awe of like the show and how I felt about it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't think anything else of it, didn't do anything else. And a whole year later, the producers of Jennifer Hudson's show, I guess, looked up the hashtag Unprisoned or they found me from that video and reached out to me and said they wanted me on the show. And I'm like, now, I'd have been around these social media streets for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Some random person in my DMs talking about, we want to put you on a show. Okay. But she said she wanted to meet with me on Zoom. So we met on Zoom and we're talking and she's talking about the show. And I'm like, she sound kind of serious. Like,
She's different. You could still
be scamming. These scammers have gotten real high tech nowadays.
It was somebody else. It wasn't Jennifer Hudson.
You know, so I was kind of listening, but I wasn't fully buying it. But
wait, it was somebody else or it was
it
her?
It was her, one of her producers.
Oh, okay.
One of her show producers was like, I'm reaching out to people to see who we want to have on the show.
Yeah.
And we saw your video about Unprisoned. We're really curious. How do you feel about the show? Do you like Kerry Washington?
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of questions just kind of probed me. And so I answered the questions. And so the lady was like, well, you know, we'll keep you on the docket. You may hear from me in a few weeks, a few months. I don't know, but we'll just have you on the roster in case we need you. Like an hour later, she calls back and she's like, so we have a really special opportunity. We're having a live screening of season 2.
Nice.
We want to invite you for the screening. Would you like to come out? So I'm like, sure. I still don't know who y'all are, but sure.
Yeah.
So in like a span of an hour, I had plane tickets. I had an itinerary. Yes. I had to be at the airport. Like, pick me up. I was in LA that night.
Wow.
And so I was out in LA for about 2 days. The recording happened the next day. Long story short, it turned out to be a full surprise. I went into the production thinking that I would be there to make social media content.
Girl.
So how they made it seem was like, I'm here to be an influencer. So I'm going to watch the episode. And once that's done, I'm going to make content about the episode afterwards.
Yeah.
That's what I thought I was doing. Yeah. So I'm practicing with them, rehearsing for that. And then they sit me in the audience and the show goes. And lo and behold, I'm on stage in between Jennifer Hudson and Kerry Washington.
Wow.
Getting to tell Kerry like how much I love the show in real time.
Wow.
So it was a total surprise. I didn't see it happening. Wow. Didn't see it coming. And I had one shot to just do my thing.
Be
and
you.
Be me. Yeah.
So I love that.
It was
wow.
a dope experience. Very grateful for the experience. And yeah, that's all I have.
You deserve it. I remember.
Thank you.
Yeah, you deserve it. I remember we were talking about where you wanted to go just with like personal development and speaking. So I love that you got the opportunity.
I've had some really cool moments since the last time we talked when it comes to me pursuing public speaking.
Yeah.
And that was definitely a very cool moment.
Yes.
So it was a great time.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's just confirmation too. Like, people see you.
You know,
people see you.
I think that was, like, I cried a lot during the whole trip because it was the first time as a content creator that I had, like, been flown out and had a chauffeur. And, like, it seemed like I was important to people. Like, where is Cindy? Where is she? In the, she's in my, she's in the dressing room back here. Like, she was, it was like, I felt like, you know, I felt like somebody. Yeah. And as a Black woman content creator, it's not often that we get that kind of treatment.
Girl, it takes so much.
It takes a lot. And it's a lot of you putting effort into the abyss over and over again for very little satisfaction and to be seen.
Yeah.
So I really thank Jennifer Hudson for seeing me and her family for seeing me and like reaching out, because that was probably the best part, was just feeling seen and feeling like my content isn't just going out into the void and no one
for
sees
nothing.
It for nothing. Yeah. You know? So yeah.
I love that. And I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm proud of you. I'm like, we were just talking about that. I'm like, look at God.
I know. It was definitely very inspiring to know that, like, your content, people do see it. Even if they're not seeing it, right when you press send,
keep going.
At some point, someone's going to see something about you. And it's a very inspiring story for sure.
Yeah. I love that.
Thank you.
Hey, family. As many of you all know, I am on a lifelong fitness journey. I've been running in the gym, and I stay in shape and stay on my health kick by using my favorite products from EHPLabs.com. They have everything from OxyGreens that is great for bloating, digestion, and immunity. And they also have OxyShred, which is an amazing fat burner that has so many different flavors. And they also have protein for anybody trying to gain weight or just stay up on your protein intake. Feel free to shop EHPLabs.com and use my discount code Shunti in all caps. Unprison, from what I've seen, is a show about a father who comes back home from prison and moves in with his daughter, and they're trying to repair their relationship, right?
That's pretty much it. He was in and out of prison throughout her childhood and eventually went away for a long time, and she was left with his girlfriend who wasn't the best mother to her. The show comes in when we're seeing him being released from prison, and he says it's the last time. She doesn't really believe him, but we get to see him work towards being different and her work towards being different and trying to trust him again.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it was a very beautiful way to depict the father-daughter bond, because I think a lot of Black women, we can relate to having our father's absent in some degree. And we don't really get to see that narrative shown in media at all. We don't see that dynamic shown
at all. The healthy bond, really, at all.
We don't, there aren't too many shows that are about a Black dad and his Black daughter. That's not usually the storyline.
That's honestly never the storyline.
It never is. Yeah. And it's an important storyline. So I was recommended to watch it. And the first episode, I was already crying. Like, I was already...
To make sure I watch it.
It's a good, it's a really good show. It really does depict a lot of emotions. And what I really appreciated about this show, I don't want to give too much away, but one thing you should know is they talk about the inner child. And the way they, I won't tell you how, but the way they depict the inner child is very unique, but it's so necessary. And we don't see Black people talking enough about our inner child and how that is with us every day and how we act in the world.
Yeah.
And so I really appreciated this show for just taking it to another level. Tracy McMillan, she's the one that created the show. And her mind, the way she just, I can't wait for you to see. I can't wait to see what you think about it. It really is a good show.
So let me ask you, how did the show parallel or mimic or mirror or what relation does it have to the relationship that you have with your father?
So me and my dad, first of all, I was a daddy's girl when I was younger.
Like, me too.
And my dad, we hunted at the hill.
Yeah,
thick as thieves. But my parents divorced when I was 6. And with that came a separation in me and my dad's relationship.
Because you stayed with your mom?
Yeah. Okay. But my dad, respectfully, also kind of fell off with his responsibilities. And so he and I were estranged throughout my childhood, all the way through my adolescence. We were just
middle school, high school,
we're off and on. We would have some cool moments. We'd be cool for a year, then off for three. You know, just inconsistent mess, you know? And so I think I hit like 20 and I was like, I'm done. And I just cut him off completely. And he was out of sight, out of mind for a long time until the pandemic hit. And the pandemic hit, and it was like, ooh, people are dropping by a airborne virus. Let me call my daddy and see how he doing. Because
that's good.
It kind of put a lot of perspective as far as life really is short. And
so he wasn't in prison.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
My daddy was never in prison, but he and I were estranged.
Yeah.
And I did relate to the experience of the mistrust you create, that creates when your father is inconsistent. And so while our story origins weren't the same, I definitely did experience my dad and I being estranged and not being able to rely on his word.
And a lot of the emotions is, I think
it's still kind of similar.
Yeah, that's important. And I'm glad that you said that it wasn't necessarily that your dad went to prison that mm-hmm. you related, but you more so related to the feelings and the emotions
Absolutely.
Of trying to repair your relationship with your father in your adulthood.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My dad never went to prison. It was just a matter of, I think he had growing up. Well, I don't think he's told me. He had a lot of growing up to do, and he wasn't necessarily ready to be a dad per se. So as an adult looking back, I can see like, daddy, you ain't had no business.
You ain't had no business
being nobody daddy at that time. But you know, when you're the kid receiving it, it's very hurtful and very painful.
And when you're the child, I'm not thinking about what you got going on or you as a child, adult.
I can't even
I just feel
see
neglected.
That. Yeah, I can't I feel even like, see that. Yeah. It's not even on the child to have that much perspective.
Bandwidth,
that's a lot. That's a very mature perspective for a child to have.
Yeah.
So, you know, as a child, all we see is you were here and now
and
you're not.
You weren't.
I'm the common denominator here.
Yeah.
What did I do?
You hate me.
I'm clearly the problem.
It's
know?
Crazy that you say that because that's literally that exact scenario is my relationship with my dad.
Really?
Yeah. It's like my dad and my mom they lived together when I was younger and mm-hmm. we were definitely thick as thieves. Mm-hmm. And he had a lot going on in his life that I found out about later mm-hmm. in adulthood. But it's the same dynamic. And it was like we were close at one point and then he disappeared for a long time. And then it was kind of like on and off, had some good mm-hmm. moments, like you mm-hmm. said. So I think that scenario is probably relatable for a lot of people.
Yeah.
What about the first season or the first episodes made you cry or made you emotional that you could relate to
your life? There's one scene exactly, actually, I remember. And it's when her dad, he had just gotten out and they were at the grocery store getting him some supplies he needed since he's just out of prison. Mm-hmm. And he tells her, you know, I really missed you and I really want for us to work on being close again. And she's like, you know, actually, I've been pretty fine without you. Like, isn't that crazy? I didn't really miss you at
all. Good.
And he said, I see. You think you had to be okay without me. When I tell you, tears immediately because, I had to convince myself that I was okay without you, but I don't think I was.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Facts. Yeah. I think that when you're growing up and you're missing a parent, what else are you supposed to do? Mm-hmm. It's like a mm-hmm. sink or swim situation.
Not to mention, in the Black community, the way that we treat really hurtful experiences as if it's like ammo mm-hmm. is crazy. Like,
yeah.
The way that you have to be on guard about your dad not being at home, because that could easily be a clap back to you mm-hmm. at any moment.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to be
even
tough.
Now, as an adult, yes. People still use that.
What's it called? Fathers aren't in the home. Like, that's what they call it? Fathers aren't in the home and daddy issues or
daddy issues.
Something else they call it. And it's like, why are we trivializing a really painful experience? Like, and as if that's her fault. Like, fatherless behavior. That's what it is.
Oh,
fatherless
that's
behavior.
The thing.
And it's like, I hate that trend because even if it is fatherless behavior, why are we framing it as if it's her fault that the father was left in the situation?
Why
you know?
Are we so focused on the behavior?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yes, focus on the behavior
also,
for sure,
like,
but also let's get to the root of the problem.
That's how I feel. And so that scene, I had to pause the show and mm-hmm. just like cry it out for a minute. Because
have you had this conversation with him?
With my dad?
Yeah.
We have had conversations. He and I reconciled, like I said, in the pandemic, and we sat down and like talked. And I got to finally tell him like what my issue was with him, what his issue, why did you act this way? I got mm-hmm. to get those answers. Some answers were very satisfying. Some were not. Some that I was like, that's a lie.
How did that conversation even come about? Because I think there are a lot of people, including myself, who have not had that conversation with their parents or with their fathers specifically or whatever parent was absent in your household. So how did you even, first of all, how did you even muster up the guts? Because I feel like that can be, that's a ballsy conversation to have with your parent, unless your parent is like really open and understanding. But
Well, to be fair, I have been pretty ballsy with my dad since I was an adolescent because I was clapping back. Like, mm-hmm. you're not consistent. I don't like it. I was mm-hmm. on his head the whole time. Like, I didn't let him breathe.
Okay.
So that really wasn't anything new for me to be able to tell him how I felt because I had been doing that. Mm-hmm. So, but with the pandemic, we both just kind of came together and said, all right, like, let's just hash it out.
Mm-hmm.
You get your stuff out. I get my stuff out so we can move forward because.
So he had that. He kind of had that desire to. Mm-hmm.
It was a mutual desire. And I think that's what I will say when it comes to reconciling. It takes two to tango.
It takes two.
And there were times where I wanted to be close to my dad, but he was off distant. And there are times where I didn't want to be close to you. Stop calling me. And mm-hmm. he wanted to be close to me. So we were both off for a very long time. And it felt like this go round was when we both were in the same mental space and was able to hear each other out and be able to just make peace with each other's truth. Like mm-hmm. there are things about his truth that I don't accept.
What? But, how did the conversation go?
It's been a few years now.
Or not a walkthrough of the conversation, but like, what were some of the main things that you brought up to him that you feel like were necessary to bring up to him through that conversation?
I think all of the pain points of my childhood where his absence or his behavior left a mark, that had to be addressed because there were things that I was still carrying to
like
that
what?
Day. Friends, so many of us can relate to the experience of our dad saying to come to pick us up. And we sit outside on the porch waiting all happy and he never comes.
Yeah.
Things like that. Yeah. Why?
Wait. I hate that that's a universal
it
experience.
It shouldn't be, but
for people
so
who grew up in
many
single
of us, so many of us know what that twinge in the heart feels like. We know what that feels like to like have your hopes up and be let down. But Daddy, where were you instead? I need to know where was you at?
Yeah.
With my partners, with the woman. I needed to hear the answers so I could know like where your priorities were at that point. Because as a kid, I'm your child. I should be number one in your book. Who are you putting above me that's, you know, and so maybe I'm not that important to you. Yeah. All those things.
You told him how it made you feel, as well.
Absolutely.
What was his response to like?
I got a lot of apologies. Some things we had to kind of agree to disagree on and I didn't get the apology that I wanted, but there mm-hmm. were a lot of things where he was able to say, no, that was wrong of me and I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that, you know. But what I will say is what I found to be shocking. I spent so many years wanting to hear those words of like, I'm sorry. And like, I messed up and I heard them and the trauma was like, well, that was so cute. That was
the
so
trauma
cute, girl.
There.
Trauma. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now what? And it stunned me because I thought that that was the key that I needed to be able to heal.
And now I'm healed.
And ta-da! You know, no psych. We're just getting started for real.
Yeah.
So then it had to become, okay, now we don't really have any beef. So now I got to let go of all this angst that I have held on to all these years.
All
and I had
ammo.
To like, all this ammo, I had to finally kind of
let
sit
me
and
let
look
the smoke
at that.
Go.
You know? Okay. But I had rooted my identity in being a scorned daughter. I had rooted myself in being the one who grew up in a single parent home without my dad. Well, now he's trying to be here. And it's like, well, that goes against my plan, sir. You were supposed to not be here.
This is not a part of the plot.
This ain't part of my plot, but part of my story. So it really, I had to move on
mm-hmm.
on my own accord. I had to make peace with it and had to tell my inner child, baby, he ain't coming. He's not coming in that chapter. It just has to be that. Like,
that's just a part of the story.
It's a part of the story, hon. Yeah. But we did get him later on in life. And I had to tell myself, because I was still holding on to the anger of like, no, I'm not doing it now because you didn't want to do it then. So mm-hmm. I should be doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
And that made sense until I sat and thought about it and thought, what if your daddy only has 5 years left on this earth?
Yeah.
And he's here now trying to do something now. And you're still holding on to what happened 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You could have 5 really good years with him or you could have none.
Yeah.
At this point on your own accord.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I had to finally get to a point where I said, holding on to that pain for what? What is it? What is it really giving me? What am I gaining from this? It's been comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, I have to be vulnerable with you. I don't have to be open with you. I don't have to tell you what hurts my feelings because I mean, I'm mad at you, so I get to hide behind that. But in letting that go, I have to now be your daughter in a way that I haven't been since I was a toddler. And it's scary to do that now because you made it seem like I couldn't do that with you. So mm-hmm. I had to do what I saw on the show. I had to do that in real life, and it is very scary. But I will say, he and I have been cool now since 2020.
Okay, good.
That's my dude. Like, I'm able to get, I feel more comfortable in saying I'm a daddy's girl again. I'm feeling more comfortable in that and seeing who he is and being able to accept that. But we definitely had to work to that point, for sure.
How do you feel like you, the version of you before y'all had the conversation, you know, holding all that anger and ammo, how do you feel like your identity has shifted now that you feel like you've repaired the relationship? And not just in context of the identity with you and your dad and being angry at him, but just how do you feel like your overall identity has shifted, if it has at all?
Ooh, my self-esteem has gotten a lot higher.
I love that. I seen this. I was watching this podcast. You know this guy named R.C. Blakes?
I don't think that doesn't ring a
bell. It's okay. I was watching his podcast, and he was talking about what a man is supposed to teach his daughter. Mm-hmm. And a few of the things, well, one of the things that really stuck out to me was confidence mm-hmm. and security. So, like, and I think people... You can think that you're confident. You can think like, oh, I think I'm pretty, so I'm confident. But he was really saying that security and confidence, especially when it comes to dating, like mm-hmm. you don't have to do the most. You don't have to overwork or overprove yourself. If somebody does not accept you or like you for you, a man is supposed to instill that in his daughter that it's okay for her to walk away. Like mm-hmm. he is the one who gives her that confidence and that security to just be able to walk away from situations. And I'm like, that makes so much sense yeah. because unfortunately, I mean, maybe your mom can do that, but it makes sense that you're supposed to get that from your dad.
Each parent has certain, I think, important qualities to teach their child. Mm-hmm. I think that's genderless. Like, one parent can't do everything.
For sure.
You know, yeah. So it takes two at least to tango when it comes to raising a kid. But mm-hmm. I know before, my daddy issues were raging in my dating life. Like, I just wanted someone to notice me. I just wanted someone to see me. So I felt so unseen by my dad, I think. Mm-hmm. And once I finally started to be seen... A presence of a dad doesn't make you perfect in dating at mm-mm. all. Because there are plenty of girls I know who, you know, like throw no shade, but throwing a little bit of a...
Yeah.
A little sprinkle.
Razzle, razzle.
All I know is a father in the home isn't like a cure-all. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're just good to go.
Yeah.
But what I will say is having my dad around and having him around to like speak highly of me and speak life into me created a foundation to where I went back into the dating world... Certain things was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Things that I would have been like pressed about.
You can't talk to me like
behavior
that
I would have been okay with. It was like, I'm actually not okay with that. Yeah. I'm actually good. Yeah. So I can say that having that confirmation and that affirmation that he does see value and love me has made me move different in life in general. Mm-hmm. My dad is very confident in himself, and sometimes it's like, all right, dad, relax.
Calm down.
All right. Yeah. But seeing him be that confident in him is like, that's half of me. Who am I to be feeling down when he's like that? You know, so it's him rubbing off on me in ways I didn't get a chance to see as a kid has definitely still been nourishing now as an adult. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Okay. Did your mom play any role in like you mending you and your dad's relationship, or what was her role in it?
She kind of had to get out the way for a little bit because it had just been her for the majority of my life. I grew up in a single parent home, and she was the main caretaker. So I went my whole life not really having to share, or her having to share me with another parent, because it was just been her. So when he and I started to kind of get close again, it was a little hard for her to kind of, you know, let loose the reins. Because, I mean, he had been inconsistent for so long. He had been untrustworthy for so long. And I think it was hard for her to be like, okay, I'm gonna get out y'all way, because mm-hmm. for so long that wasn't a trustworthy move to make. So I think at first it was a little hard for her, but now she fully supports it, and now they're not the best friends or anything, but they are able to be cordial, and they are able to support each other in our bonds with each other. So at first I think it was an adjustment, but once he proved himself as being consistent, she got used to it. She was cool.
Was it an adjustment in a way of she didn't trust him to even just be back in your life because she was like, oh, he's going to do the same thing again? Or was it an adjustment as far as sharing time? Like, oh, where you at with your dad?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think at first it might have been apprehension as far as like, I don't know what you're about to do with my kids. But as time went on and it became clear that, you know, we were fine, we were going to his house more often and all of that, I think then it became like, dang, now I gotta share them for real. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. she could have definitely used that sharing throughout our childhood. But mm-hmm. once you're so used to it being a certain way, mm-hmm. when things change, it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Like, that didn't happen. Wait a minute. Got one parent. Right, yeah. right. So, but also I think, and this is one of the hard parts about reconciling with a parent who was absent during the hard part of parenting. Because I'm an adult now. I don't need my diaper change. I don't need you to do my homework with me. I don't need you to sign to stay up with me and do a science project. I don't need you doing any of that. You're mm-hmm. just here to just talk with me now as an adult.
Yeah.
I think it was hard for my mom to see him come in at the end and want to do right now. I think that was very hard for her. And it was hard for me.
Understandably so.
There were times where I was working out with him and where we're working through things, and I would wake up mad. I'm like, you know what, nigga, no. Because yeah. you weren't there when I was a child. You weren't putting in the hard work.
Yeah.
So why do we get to chop it up now? You know, I had to.
That's real.
And those are emotions I still struggle with at times. It's like, that's so unfair that yeah. my mom had to be the one to sacrifice so much of her time and her energy to raising me. And you get to just waltz in now that all that's over with,
yeah.
and we can just chop it up. There are times where I'm like, this is so, it's just unfair.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's valid.
I kind of balance it between, well, I mean, I'd rather sometime than no time. But that's what I tell myself. But I do think it was hard for my mom to kind of watch that,
mm-hmm.
given all that she did for my upbringing. So
yeah.
reconciling with the parent who was absent and and it wasn't because of like they were, you know, overseas or but due to their negligence, you will always, I think, have a small part of you that's kind of in the corner like,
yeah,
you still ain't shit, you know, still stuck in that back then.
Yeah,
but she's a small person in the corner now. She ain't yelling in my face. Like
she's not the biggest one showing up in every.
She ain't the biggest voice anymore. Yeah. But I think she'll always kind of be there. But she's tamed at this point.
Yeah,
but there are things. The mere fact that us reconciling didn't erase the trauma and the things I had to heal from, that pissed me off too, because what do you mean? I'm still stuck with all the things you did,
mm-hmm.
and you trying to be a dad now. I'm mm-hmm. still healing my daddy issues, and you right here. Like yeah. There are times where I kind of need to kind of, daddy, I'll talk to you later. I need some time to kind of just, but that's the reality of it all.
Yeah.
What's going through your head?
No, I feel like that's valid. I agree with that. I think all of those emotions are very valid. Me and my dad have a decent relationship. Mm-hmm. Like I can call him, I can talk to him. I don't be telling him all my business. But we talk, okay? But I think that all of those feelings are valid, and I think that it's okay to feel those. Mm-hmm. I was talking to one of my friends the other day, and I was like, we were both just saying how we are out of the phase of life where you try to suppress emotions or like push away or outwork the negative emotions, outwork the disappointment or the sadness or mm-hmm. the unfairness, because shit do be unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Shit do be sad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm allowed to feel that. Like,
absolutely.
You know, so.
They say that Black women, we have like some of the highest rates of autoimmune disease because we suppress stress so much. Honey, I'm about to screen shout.
Yeah.
Let it all out. Yeah. I'm not playing with y'all. Yeah. And I think that
it is not fair.
Right. Like, sometimes you gotta just sit in that for a little bit.
For
like,
real. This shit ain't fair.
Sometimes it's not. Cry it out. Wipe the tears away and then keep it pushing. But at least honor your tears. Honor that frustration.
Honor your tears.
That's something I definitely had to learn with reconciling with my dad, because there mm-hmm. are a multitude of emotions you experience in reconciliation that if you only acknowledge the good stuff, you ain't gonna get that far.
Mm-hmm. That's valid. I don't know. Me and my dad have not had that conversation, but I feel like I've reconciled a lot of things just in myself, because there are a lot of things that I could say that my parents did that I would do differently
mm-hmm.
for my child. I would be like, yeah, I wouldn't do this. I mm-hmm. wouldn't do this. But at the same time, I feel like I just remind myself that they're people. They had me and my siblings when they were young. Mm-hmm. They weren't ready. But I'm like, at the end of the day, they're people. I feel this way about my parents, but I'm sure there is a bucket, a ton of things that they already feel bad about mm-hmm. that they already would go back and change and regret. So I really just have to, I don't know, move forward and
I'm a challenge handle that. It.
Yeah.
You are, that is a valid point. Parents mm-hmm. do have parent guilt that they obsess over. However,
And just things, not even parent guilt, but just like human things. Like we all go through our own human experiences.
I think that your parents owe it to know you. And part of knowing you is knowing, is them knowing the ways in which they hurt you. That's information. Mm. Because when your parents don't know the behaviors or the words that hurt you, they could still be spewing it and have no clue.
True.
And so if there are things that they could be made aware of to actually work on and improve, so they're not just being guilty over things they have no idea about, let them know. And I think I think as Black kids, for real, we get stuck as being a kid. You grown in the sense of you can articulate your emotions and say, Dad, like, there's a way to communicate how you feel without it being perceived as being disrespectful or talking back, because we're older now. Yeah. And so I think take advantage of that to be able to say, like, I want to be closer to you, but I'm emotionally kind of stunted because we haven't talked about this.
Yeah.
And I think in order for us to get closer, can we talk about this? And can I tell you how I felt about it? You know, but kind of just opening up that space as an adult also shows them that you're an adult now too.
Yeah.
So girl, tell them how
I think that's great. Yeah. I think that's great. I've definitely had some conversations with my parents, but I've never had a conversation with either of my parents just really going through childhood and being like, oh, I feel like from childhood,
I think it's a multitude of conversations, not just one. I think it's kind of, you have to kind of break it off.
Break it into pieces.
You can't hit them with everything at once.
No, you cannot.
Me and my dad reconciling, it happened over a period of months. Those conversations just kind of happened here and there over time.
Yeah.
Hitting them over the head with everything at once.
Baby, they ain't trying to hit that.
Y'all finna be hooking in the streets. So definitely break it up. But, as I get older and trying to figure out, like, what is a parent-child relationship when the child's now an adult? How does that look? And part of that is you as a child being able to say, you know, Mom, I didn't really like that.
I didn't like when you did that, actually.
I didn't really say that, actually. Yeah. Can you talk about that, you know?
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable because it's like, oh, that's my mama, though. Like, that's my daddy. Like, ooh.
Yeah.
But it makes us closer. So I think it's worth it.
I totally agree. I think some conversations I really just don't know how to have yet. To be completely honest, like,
I understand that.
I definitely think delivery is everything. And when I don't know how to deliver something, mutual way, I'm like, baby, this.
Let's put it on the
shelf.
I don't
know how to put icing on this. I really don't. I don't know how to put this in a nicer way.
I would argue that some things don't need icing.
True. But I do feel like, I won't say that, I do think it's a certain way that you have to deliver things to certain people, because they may not be in the same headspace
as you. Very fair.
So I'm like, I'm thinking about this like this, but you're not. You know how you can think of something one way, but the way that you say it will determine the way that they receive it. And I'm like,
I'm going to hurt your feelings.
If I say it the only way I know how to say it, we ain't gonna never talk again. So maybe I need to do a little bit more work.
Maybe we should just hold off.
I need to do a little bit more work, a few more therapy sessions once I get the order down.
That's right.
Girl, because I'm like,
I'm tickled.
But I think that's true. I think you do need to have those conversations with your parents, especially about childhood. And I don't know, a lot of grace, because I'm like, a lot of our parents just weren't prepared to have kids.
We're not.
You ain't had no business having kids.
Mama had me at 24. I think about that now and I'm like, oh dear God.
Maybe the things that I was doing at 24.
Not raising no child. Yeah. Better raising me. Yeah. I don't know about that, babe.
Yeah.
So, especially as I got older and look back on it, I'm like, that is age appropriate behavior.
That makes sense.
Like,
that makes sense.
You
yeah.
was trying to do all this at 26.
Yeah.
You know what? Let me ease up off you.
Yeah.
Because at 26, dear God.
Yeah. Like, at 26. Yeah. Yeah.
The older I get, the more that I give grace of like, yeah, y'all might have done some things y'all shouldn't have did, but you know what?
Yeah. It's crazy too, though. I had to compare, but sometimes I have to think about the comparison. I'm like, we saying this like, oh, at 26, I wouldn't have been ready. But I'm like, it's so many other people who be like married, have kids, but we are starting further behind than other people started.
Being in our late 20s is a weird time. Like,
it is.
Everyone is in such different places.
Yeah.
There are people who, like stability, starts kicking in around like 25. When your friend group starts kind of changing stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
especially as content creators, baby. Yes,
this timeline is different.
Baby, this timeline going to be a little... Hold on.
Look, this timeline different. I remind myself that all the time. I'm like, if I would have just took the traditional route and got a job...
If I had just got me a little 9-to-5-er and just got out the way and ducked off, I'd be somewhere totally different. I'd probably have a kid by now.
Yeah. I don't think I would have a kid, but I would definitely have a...
If you had a stable, well-paying 9-to-5...
I don't think I would have a child by now. Not by the person I was with. I would not have no kid by now. I would have a paid off car and maybe a condo.
Period.
I wouldn't have no baby. I don't think I'd have no baby. I ain't gonna lie. I say this all the time, but I never thought of myself being a mom in the 20s.
Really?
No, I always thought of myself, if I have kids, it'll be in my 30s. Only because I grew up with so many things that I knew at a young age had to be undone and unwired. Mm-hmm. I was just like, if God take over and just do some, you know, all the work and it's done in my 20s, I would be open to it. But I just felt like it's a lot of things that I have to learn and unlearn for the lifestyle that I want to have and for the lifestyle that I would want to, or for the type of mother that I would want to be to my child. Mm-hmm. Like, it's things I would need to learn about finances. I feel like I don't know shit about marriage. Honey. Every day I learn something new. I'm like, wow. I know from the outside, but I'm like, the actual wiring and how things work, I'm like, oh my gosh, I never knew this. Even about motherhood, I didn't know until working around like some moms who were married and they have like super structured schedules. I'm like, oh my gosh, this, like, y'all have this type of schedule every single day. Like, wake up at 6
because honey, get the kids ready at 7.
Babes, I knew I wouldn't be ready. I knew I wouldn't be ready in my 20s because I knew I also wanted to pursue my own things, get into content creation, entrepreneurship. So I was like, it's giving 30s.
I love that you knew that early on. Yeah. I didn't learn. I thought I'd be married in my career with a child by 24. Let's all laugh.
Yeah.
So once I hit 24 and realized, girl, that was stupid as hell, that's when I began to think, like, okay, but when would I want a child? Let's just keep pushing this off to about our 30s.
Yeah.
I don't know about my 20s.
Yeah.
I have no regrets in dedicating my 20s to me.
Me neither.
I think that's a beautiful thing, and I think I'll always look back on this decade and be like, girl, you did that. You ate that up.
I think,
like,
my child will look back and be like, thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
I'm like, your child will appreciate getting the heel version of you. I mean, of course, they ain't thinking about that, but like, they will have a good mom.
If I'm bringing you into this world without your consent, the least I can do is bring you into this world in the best case scenario.
Yes, exactly. But we are nearing the end of our episode.
Okay.
I love talking about Unprisoned. Is there anything that you want to leave the listeners or the viewers with before we go? As far as parental relationship, mending that relationship, anything you want to say?
Well, I think that reconciling is an option if the parameters are present. Because, I mean, if it ain't given that, don't take it. But if you are wanting a more in-depth conversation about reconciling with your father, I'm actually doing a series on the show Unprisoned on my podcast called Can We Talk About It? That name's changing too soon.
Okay.
But I'll be talking more in-depth about my experience. I think reconciling with our parents is a well-needed conversation. We talk a lot about, you know, cutting our parents off and going no contact. But what about the dynamics where there is space for something to actually be created? How does that happen? So I'll be talking more about that with my experience on my podcast. And I'll actually be launching the first episode to that series somewhere around when this launches. So stay tuned for that.
Yes. But
this is a great topic, and I hope you all enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for having me on your show again.
Of course.
I appreciate it. But yeah.
I think it's so funny to say, like, going no contact with your parents. That's hilarious. But I think for some people in some situations, I totally understand it's necessary. Yeah. Because some parents, they be wilding. Yeah. They done tried it, and they need to be no contact. So I get that it's the scenario for some people, but I don't think that's like the first op. I don't think that's the majority case. Like, you don't need to go no contact just because your mama said you need to go.
Because she got on your nerves today.
Yeah, like, come on now. But but stay tuned, y'all. This episode will be dropping follow Cindy. Give them your handles.
The Cindy Noir across TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Check yes. me out.
And do not forget to subscribe to my YouTube channel and listen to my podcast on Apple Podcasts. I love y'all, and I will see y'all on the next episode. Bye. Bye.